Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Thank you, Jim. Well, good morning, Mass Avenue. It's a great pleasure, as always, to be here with you. I just want to take a moment and recognize we have some incredible church members gone today on the Making Space for God retreat. So I just want to take a moment just to pray for them as they have continued all throughout the weekend to seek the presence of the Lord. Pastor Wick and Pastor Sarah have been leading them throughout this weekend, and so I'm just going to pray for a moment for them. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the extension of our church that has gone searching your heart this weekend. And Lord, may you continue to pour yourself into them. May they continue to seek your presence and know you deeper. We love you, Lord. Amen. Oh, I love that the lion's still here. It's not coming yet. So we had a little bit of spoiler this morning. So in case you haven't read Daniel ever, sorry about that. But we are beginning chapter 6. We are almost halfway through the book of Daniel. How incredible that is. And this week we see a huge shift in kind of the land that we've been talking about. Babylon has now been taken over by Persia, and a new king has taken place, Darius. And we see a lot of corrupt legislation. So I want to talk to you about some corrupt legislation in our world today. These are some fun laws that exist. In Alabama, it's illegal to wear a fake mustache in church if it causes laughter. So, don't wear your fake mustaches at church in Alabama. In Arizona, donkeys are not allowed to sleep in bathtubs. I don't know why you want a donkey in your bathtub, but that's fine. In Georgia, it is illegal to keep an ice cream cone in your back pocket on Sundays. Makes sense because it's the Lord's Day. In Idaho, it's illegal to fish while sitting on a giraffe's neck. If you can find a giraffe and fish, knock yourself out. This is in Illinois, specifically in Normal. Any of you ISU grads could tell me if this is real. Apparently, it is against the law to make faces at dogs. That's just down the road in Normal, Illinois. Indiana, it's illegal to catch a fish with your bare hands. Again, a feat that's pretty impressive and shouldn't be illegal. In Kansas, it's illegal to serve wine in teacups. In Minnesota, it's illegal to cross state lines with a duck on your head. No, that was no one in our church that we put a rubber duck on the head and took a picture of. Also, I just love that Aaron found that picture. In New Jersey, it's illegal to slurp your soup in public. You know, we have kids. Get over it. Bingo may not last more than 5 hours in North Carolina. I think we all can agree that bingo shouldn't last more than 5 hours. In Ohio, it's illegal to get a fish drunk. I don't even know. And in Texas, you cannot sell your eyeballs. So it's wild. But these are real laws. You can go all the over the internet, and there are some wild laws. Now, I don't know actually how many of these things have actually been enforced ever, if not recently. I really want to know the story about the giraffe, fishing off the neck of a giraffe, and who did that. But alas, we continue into the book of Daniel. So we see some corruption take over, as we've seen throughout the kingdoms of Babylon and now Persia. And I want us to be reminded of a scripture Pastor Wick shared with us last week. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. May we read the word from Daniel. May we be the great cloud of witnesses to what God is going to continue to do through his Spirit. This is Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps stationed throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three administrators, one of whom was Daniel. To these satraps they gave account so that the king might not suffer a loss. Soon Daniel distinguished himself above the other administrators and satraps and became because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to appoint him over the whole kingdom. So the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for complaint against Daniel in connection with the kingdom. But they could find no grounds for complaint or corruption because, spoiler, he was faithful. And no negligence or corruption could be found in him. The men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." So the administrators and satraps conspired and came to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. All of the administrators of the kingdom, the prefects and satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce a law that whoever prays to any god or human for 30 days except for you, O king, shall be thrown into the den of the lions. Now, O king, establish this law and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and law. O Lord, give us the ears to hear your Spirit through these words. And may you speak to us as we continue in your word together. Amen. So we see a new kingdom coming together in Persia, a new king, Darius the Mede. Now, what's a Mede? Pastor Wick talked a little bit, but these are people that were now part of the present day Iran. They were big into building these huge, beautiful architecture, this beautiful huge buildings. They weren't quite as witty and smart as the Chaldeans that we saw in Babylon, but yet it was still the same type of culture of pointing towards themselves. And so Darius is the new king in power. And so he put 120 people over the kingdom as governors throughout the land to enforce the rules of the kingdom, to collect the taxes, and to recruit for the army. And Daniel was one of only three administrators or commissioners over the satraps, ensuring that they were doing their work efficiently. And because Daniel had a different type of spirit in him, he had a leader's heart. He clearly was above and beyond all of the administrators. And so it even says back in the verses that we just read that the king was about to make him all appointed all over the kingdom. But the satraps had other plans, and they had to go after Daniel's God rather than Daniel himself. You see, Daniel was still trusted even in the midst of a new empire ruling over the land. This is the third king now that Daniel has worked for, with a third different type of leader. But they could never find anything wrong with him because his character was bound to God. So the governors went to the king to tell them, "Hey, king, why don't we just praise you instead? And anyone that doesn't praise you gets thrown into the lion's den and killed." This is not the only adversity we've seen Daniel face. It seems like every time a new king comes into the order that there's something else that's taking place to try and stop the work of God. And so they make this irrevocable law, this corrupt law that anyone who worships anybody but King Darius would be killed and eaten by the lions. You see, Nebuchadnezzar made his angry decisions off of his emotions. Belshazzar gave into the desires of the flesh and world. And now we see Darius, who is a passive leader, easily influenced by others. We've seen now three different kings living in three different ways under three different kingdoms, yet causing similar destruction and trying to take hope away from the people of God. But through it remains the faithful servant Daniel, who we've been continuing to talk about our series, Faithfulness in Daniel. Nothing has shaken him to this point. His whole name was changed. He was threatened to be killed by Nebuchadnezzar. He wouldn't worship the idols, and his friends were thrown into the fiery furnace and came out unscathed. We've continued to see God's faithfulness at hand. And the people that have said, I will follow the Lord, have continued to sit at the right hand of the kingdom. It's almost like Jesus would tell us something like that down the road. But throughout these first six chapters, we've continued to see how the rulers of the land wanted themselves worshipped above a God who deeply loved them. And thankfully, Nebuchadnezzar, as we saw, decided at the very end to praise God and to see who God really was. But here's the thing. This corrupt law was against the people of God. And unfortunately, in this world today, the behavior of Babylon and Persia still exists deeply, just in many different forms. Yet Daniel has yet to lie down and worship a kingdom that is not of God. And Jesus has a lot to say about worshiping kingdoms and worshiping things that are not of God. And so I want us to look into Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. Jesus just had another spat with the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were demanding a sign, a cosmic sign from him. They were trying to trap him like they always were. And the disciples were right there witnessing this. And so we pick this up in Matthew 16, verse 5. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." They said to one another, "Is it because we have brought no bread?" And becoming aware of it, Jesus said, "You of little faith, why are you talking about not having bread? Do you still not perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How could you fail to perceive that when I was speaking, that I was not speaking about actual bread? Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he had not told them to beware of the yeast of the bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. One thing I'd love to point out, and this is one of my favorite things to point out, and I love that Jesus even points it out, is that the disciples had seen the beautiful glory of God revealed when Jesus fed the 5,000. Right? So when the disciples had 5,000 people in front of them, they asked Jesus, "What are we going to do?" And if you flip two chapters later in Mark chapter 8, you see the disciples with 4,000 people in front of them. You think they know what to do, right? They asked Jesus, "What are we going to do?" And I wonder what that was like. Jesus had to sit there and just laugh. Like, have you not seen what this really means? Have you not seen how incredible this is? I had a professor in college. His name was Chuck White, and he spoke on this very topic. And he talked about, he called it the dumb disciples lecture. And it was every time in Scripture that the disciples were not understanding what Jesus was trying to say. And boy, was that list very long. But it was a beautiful thing to go back and recognize that Jesus is trying not to tell them about the bread and that you need to be fed. No, he's saying, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Beware of the yeast of these religious leaders. These people that are trying to hurt others. These know-it-alls that think they know all the things of God, but yet they don't know me. Beware of their teachings, right? Yeast is this thing that makes bread rise when you add it into it, I'm not a baker, so please correct me later on. But yeast, I know, is a very important ingredient in bread. And if we don't have it, it doesn't rise and the things don't come to the surface. So when Jesus is telling them to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, beware of the teachings, these false teachings, these false things of the world. Because it isn't me. It isn't the love that I came to earth to tell you about. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Jesus brings us another parable with bread. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it is leavened. The kingdom of God is like yeast mixed with 3 measures of flour until it leavens. The work of the kingdom continues to rise like dough. Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of heaven will bloom with the right yeast and the right teaching and the right hearts. And so when we see this in contrast with these verses in Daniel, we see a nation that is focused on worshiping their leader and their king and the things that aren't God. And then we see the Pharisees that are focused on worshiping their God, but not in the way that Jesus has brought forth. The Pharisees brought forth teachings of hate, teachings of corruption even. They knew the word of God in their hearts, but they didn't practice it. They didn't know it fully. And so when we look in our world today, it's been a month in our country, in our world. It's been tough. It will continue to be that way. But I feel that heaviness too that you are also feeling. Every time we open social media or the internet, it continues to be there. But may we take a step back and may we recognize that there are things in this world that we as followers of Jesus and we as humans and we as Christians want to fight for. We want to fight for things that bring people closer to Jesus, and when it's harder to do that because of maybe things of the government or things of the world, it's difficult. And yes, I said the dreaded G word in church, government. That's scary because that comes with the dreaded P word in church, politics, right? We're scared to talk about those things. But beloved, do we not know that we are part of the kingdom first? Do we not know that we are part of what Jesus is doing on earth and in our church and in our community and in our country and in our world? And so when corruption takes place, when these corrupt laws are in place, when these corrupt teachings are in place, and when things of this world that we don't like and we don't agree with happen, how do we respond? I'm merely not here to be political at all. Because simply listen, Jesus isn't a Democrat. Jesus isn't a Republican. Jesus simply wants the kingdom of earth to be his. Jesus wants us to go and make disciples of all nations. And we, church, have to be willing to set aside those things. And yes, there needs to be change sometimes. And we need to be able to humbly work with the kingdoms of this world to see the kingdom of Jesus furthered. But how do we do that? And it's hard because we see Daniel go into a lion's den. And yes, I am going to go past Pastor Wick's message, mostly because he's not here to yell at me about it. He wouldn't yell at me. We all know Pastor Wick. But Daniel gets thrown into a lion's den where God is revealed continually. And God comes out as the victor continually. And we see change take place. But we have to be willing to trust our God through any trial or adversity in this world and the things that happen. So there's a few things I want us to take us through. These aren't my solutions. These are just things I know about Jesus, things I know about the Lord that we can do to see change in our world, in our lives, in our communities, not for our own agendas, but for the kingdom of heaven. So firstly, I want us to see that we can do justice, but humbly. See, Daniel lived in a humble faithfulness to God. He was willing to speak up for his God and trust him even in every single corrupt culture, law, or decision from any king that he lived under. It is hard to remain humble, especially when things take place that we don't like. But may we recognize, church, that not always is social media the greatest place to get our points across. It's hard. And listen, I've tried my best with politics. It's really hard with sports, okay, for me. That's the thing I work on. I just be quiet. I just post when my teams do well and I'm happy. I move on. But fighting about things with people that we can't see through a phone has never been a constructive way to do it. May we sit down. May we have a meal together. May we be in community and be able to talk about the things that are hard and how we can work through that together. May we do things in a humble manner, because when we walk away from humility, pride takes over and our kingdoms rise and not the Lord's. Violent change isn't of the Lord. Violence is not the answer. We're not called to a violent change. We're not called to conquer things with violence. We must do it in a humble way. Secondly, if we are followers of Jesus, allow ourselves to take in contaminated yeast, we too will turn sour in our view of life. Jesus said, beware of the teachings, the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The things that we take in each and every day define the person we become. So if we're listening and watching things that are going to contaminate us, we're going to turn sour in the way that we go about our lives, the way we talk to people, the way we act around others, the way we conduct ourselves at work and on social media. We're allowed to be informed people and know what's going on. But the way that we respond to those things matters as followers of Jesus. We as the church are called to be on the forefronts of culture, the first ones to respond when tragedy or things take place that are hard. But if we together are just constantly battling with each other, the kingdom of heaven will not grow. And if we're taking in teachings and things that are contaminating us, we need to know that we are. We need to have people. We need to have accountability. We need to have discipleship bands. Pastor Sarah would be so happy I said that. Have discipleship bands that can talk through these things together, that can be honest with each other, that can pray through these things. We must be willing to seek the Lord through his word. Ask questions and learn what it says. May we turn towards the bread of life, Jesus, rather than the bread of the kingdom of this world. We're not called to worship idols. Every single kingdom that we've seen in Daniel has worshipped idols and worshipped kings. That's hard for us. It's easy to worship the things we like. And I get it. It's kind of funny, but you can say, you walk into my office, you see lots of Michigan stuff. I love the University of Michigan. I'm a big fan. But I don't want to worship them. So God forbid something ever happened to that stuff, I hope that I wouldn't be sad about it. I probably would a little bit, but it would go far away because my kingdom is not in the University of Michigan football team. It's in heaven. And that's hard for me to remember. Galatians chapter 5. You've probably heard this chapter many times. The fruits of the Spirit are well known. But may we hear these words in lieu of all the things that we just talked about. In lieu of how we actually conduct ourselves to each other. Because church, we are the people that leave this place on Sunday and you go and leave and go out to a restaurant or go back to your house, wake up the next day, go to work, go to school, and guess what? You're in the mission field. And there's going to be things that you don't like. There's things that as Christians we don't do, right? We live a different life. We live a life set apart from the world. But how we conduct ourselves matters. It says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, you were running well. You prevented, who prevented you from obeying the truth? Such persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough. And I am confident about you in the Lord that you will not think otherwise. But whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. And jumping down to verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use that freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I loved what Hector said in his prayer. May we not live in fear of our neighbor. May we not live in fear of the people of this world. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. We see this corrupt legislation in Daniel. It doesn't mean that we don't have to follow the laws of our world, right? But when we are led by God, God does incredible things. And we are led by the Holy Spirit. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness. And these things. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But hear this, as you've heard it so many times, probably. But if you've heard it for the first time, may you hear the love of Christ in these verses. Because this is who Jesus is. This is what the Spirit of God brings to our life. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have been crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, and envying one another. It's simple as this. We are called to love our neighbor, love our God, and possess the fruits of the Spirit too. Jesus lived by possessing these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Some of you probably heard the song growing up in Sunday school. But listen, we as followers of Jesus are different. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different lifestyles. We come from different ideologies in our life that we grew up with. But I think the beautiful thing is that through all of our differences outside of this building, the way we vote, the way we think, our career choices, we come here where Jesus brought his disciples who were also from different backgrounds, different career paths, different life choices. And yes, he even brought Judas who would betray him. But this table represents a community that we are together in Jesus. That we get to come through all of our differences and the things that we struggle with and the things that make us mad and these laws and this government and all these things in this world, we come here to the table together. And all of those things that define us outside of this building do not matter. Because here at the table, we stop and we come together and we see the beauty of Jesus revealed. And we remember the sacrifice on the cross that he made for us so that we may be able to leave this place and live like we do when we come to this table. So if we are going to look for change in our world, if we're going to look for change in our laws, if we're going to look for change for Jesus, it needs to start here. And it needs to start here. And I need to hear this just as much as all of you. Every pastor will tell you they need to hear the sermon that they're preaching way more. So as we enter into this time, may we remember the community that we are because of Jesus. May we remember the people that we are because of Jesus.